Assalamu alaikum.
And welcome to Mind, Body and Chow. And we'll be with you, inshallah, for the next 30 minutes or so. And we'll start off with fitness and wellness expert Ronald Evergy. He'll be joining us in a couple of seconds. And we'll be talking after the workout on exercise, on body problem areas as you age. We'll talk about that, inshallah. Also coming up, Dr. Zaira Kotu joins us at about 13:45. And we'll be talking about the six factors of wellness. And she'll be talking about 32 points on the head and what do they mean. Very, very interesting indeed. But you know, Ronald has asked us to ask you to send in your body problem areas and we'll try and address that in the Q&A. So here are your interactive mediums.
I'm so tired.
Don't be. It's time for verbal fitness sessions on Mind, Body and Chow.
Hello, is anybody out there?
Interact now. SMS 48855. WhatsApp 072-786-1548. Or tweet EJAZ at EJAZ underscore K.
Can you hear me calling?
Here we go.
Yes, indeed. The lines are open from the onset. 011-854-1548. I know most people will wait first for the workout before they start sending those questions. Now we welcome Ronald to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ronald.
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, brother Jazz? Are you good? Are you healthy? Are you keeping fit?
Alhamdulillah, I am, and I'm hoping you're doing the same. I'm sure you're doing the same.
Oh, definitely. I'm actually in Kroonstad as I speak to you, visiting one of our corporate clients.
Okay.
I've just done a workout with them, and I'm excited and energized for our workout for our listeners.
It's unfair because you see you've got a head start on us.
I'm warmed up.
Yep, so let's go straight into the workout, Ronald.
All right, today's workout is based on the abs. We haven't done that in a very, very long while.
Absolutely.
So those that are sitting down, if you can't find a place to lay down, which is easier to do because we don't risk any back or neck injuries, great. If not, sit wherever you are, take notes, and try this when you do get home later on today.
Okay.
So the first exercise, laying on your back. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to place your hands under your buttock, bend your knees, and raise your knees to your chest and gently lift your lower back off the floor. And then slowly lower your feet back down to the ground. It's basically called a reverse crunch. There's no pressure on your neck. So it's like a rocking motion. So feet touching the floor, knees bent, hands under your buttock. Gently lift your feet off the floor, knees to chest, lower back off the floor, and slowly down again. What this does is it works the ab area, warms it up. You need to do a lot more repetitions than a normal crunch, but I really prefer this for those who do incorrect technique with normal abdominal crunches. You're going to aim for at least 20 to 30 to start off with and gradually build up your pace. So let's go for it. Feet off the floor, knees off the floor, lower back off the floor, and back down. And as your feet touch, you lift it up again, and you keep doing these repetitions in a nice, easy rhythm where you're doing it 1, 2, 3, and 4. Keep it going. Finish up your reps, and that's the first ab exercise done. The next one, I want you now to keep your hands under your buttock. I want you to straighten your feet out, straighten the knees, and I want you now to lift your feet 10 centimeters from the floor, all right, and hold it there. And from that position, that's your starting position. Holding it there works your lower abs. Try to push your lower back against the floor. I now want you to bend your knees slightly. Hold it there and slowly push your knees back out. Straighten the leg with your feet 10 centimeters off the floor. This is called a static leg raise, in that you're not moving it up and down. It's in the same position. So you're creating constant tension in that ab area, working your abdominal core as well as that six-pack that might be hidden underneath a layer of fat. So you're doing that for 30 repetitions. Relax it down. Now, the last exercise for today for the abs is very simple. I want you to place your feet under a couch, a bench, or a chair, or let someone hold it for you to give you some pressure. What I want you now to do is place your hands on your chin, and I want you to lift your head, neck, and upper shoulders off the floor for 5 centimeters and hold that position. Now, this is called a static crunch. You're not going up and down. You're not letting momentum work, and you're holding that for 30 seconds. As you're holding it there, I want you to stretch both hands up over your head, and you elongate your body, creating more tension on the abs. You should feel it shaking, and you hold this static crunch for at least 30 seconds. And this entire routine, you repeat 3 to 4 times, nice, easy pace, and you're going to reveal that six-pack after a while, provided you do every other workout that we do. Now, it sounds easy. I sound very mellow, but trust me, this exercise will rock and roll those abs into shape.
Properly. And also, any creaking sounds you're hearing is this old chair that I'm sitting on. It's not my joints. I can show you.
Thank you for that affirmation, and I've got your back. We're going to sort that old chair out with some Q20.
That's it. I was just going to get ask the engineer to get me some. But I don't know why is it so important to build the core and get the core in full order.
You know, the reason why I brought this workout in today is because someone asked us yesterday a question about lower back pain. And back pain in general. And more often than not, they tend to focus on the back area alone without realizing it. It's because they have a weaker core. And as I explained yesterday, the core is that layer of muscle like a band underneath the six-pack, which gives you stability in the upper body, controls your posture, and supports the back. So what you need to then do is do these exercises not just to work the six-pack but the core to strengthen that area and alleviate back pain, improve your posture, and that's really what we're aiming for. So it's really about your functional health as to why we work the core.
Right, reminder to the listeners, Ronald is with us for the next 6 minutes or so. You can still SMS any questions you want him to answer on 488-55. You can WhatsApp 0727861548. You can tweet at EJAZ_K. Even our international listeners, don't be shy. Send us through those questions. Now, Ronald, let's discuss some exercise on body problem areas.
Oh, man, this is a wonderful one. You know, whenever I ask people what are the top three areas you want to focus on when it comes to exercise and getting a body into shape, it goes, number one is always the ab area. Number two is either for gents, the chest and the upper body. And for ladies, it's always the thighs and the buttock. So we're looking at those problem areas. Here's what you need to do. You need to identify there's a difference between strength training and cardio training. Cardio training helps you burn fat, but your body decides where it wants to burn fat from anywhere. You can't cardio and target specific areas on your body to burn fat. So understand that. So when you do cardio, your body will burn fat from all over your body. And the toughest place it burns fat from, and the last place more often than not does, is of course the abdominal region. But with strength training, we can target these areas. So when it comes to the buttock, you do something called the sumo squat. The sumo squat is an exercise that targets the hamstrings or the back of the legs and the buttock to give you a nice firmness in that buttock. What you do is you keep your feet wider than shoulder width apart. You angle your feet out at 45 degrees, drop your buttock as low as you can, not below 90 degrees, and you pulsate up and down from that position to really ensure you work that buttock muscle, ladies. The second area is, of course, the upper body for many, so the triceps become a problem area. So many people I would advise them to do is a French press. So what they can do it against the wall. So it doesn't matter how old you are, you can still do this exercise. So you face a wall, stand about a meter back, place your hands directly in front of your shoulders, elbows straight, and push it against the wall, and forming a diamond with your index fingers and your thumbs. What you then do is bend your elbows out to flare outwards, and then you push it back up. This targets the back of the arms, the triceps, and if you've got those flabby arm problems, this is the exercise for you. So those are the top areas that people focus on. We've just done all the ab exercises. So if you've got any other problem areas, do let us know, and we will help you find the right exercises to shape and tone your body.
Definitely. And the number to call in if you want, we've got about 5 minutes or so, is 011-854-1548. Now, Ronald, what about exercise as you age? Does it differ?
You know, firstly, Brother Judge, people always ask me, what's the secret ingredient to health and longevity? And I tell them, it's a capsule with two components. One is exercise, one is healthy eating. But exercise is so important. Our bodies, as we age, go through a deterioration process. You know, many people will go through, especially women, will go through things like osteoporosis or osteoarthritis. You find they always say, for women, you need to have a lot more calcium in your diet because their bones tend to get a lot more brittle, fragile as they age. For the gents, you find that this truncal obesity that kicks in around about the ab area, but also for everybody, you find there's something called muscle atrophy as we age. So you find that this is why older people get very frail, because there's muscle atrophy, so the muscle wastes away. The body burns muscle quicker than it burns fat. So as you age, you need to bring in a variety of exercises. In your teens, you got to do functional exercise in your children. Let them play, have fun, push-ups, sit-ups, all body weight exercises. Let them just have fun and really engage their body in every activity that they can. As you get into your 20s and your 30s, you need to start doing strength training, but controlled strength training. So don't go to the gym and pump iron and try to be a bodybuilder. You need to do it controlled way, so you're activating the muscles, the tendons, you're strengthening the bones as you age with cardiovascular exercise, because our risk of heart disease and glucose increase in our blood increases as we go through, and as we go through our ages. And then in your 40s and 50s, you need to continue with the cardiovascular exercise, but to have a bigger focus on strength training, and that into your 70s and 80s as well. Because strength training allows you to maintain muscle integrity, optimize your body functionality, decrease joint pain, and begin to decrease your risk of osteoarthritis, hip issues, and joint issues. So in your ages, exercise becomes consistent. But throughout all the ages, Brother Jazz, you can do stretching, you can do some yoga. That is great, because that is universal from babies right up until old age.
And I say, to close it off, I see a WhatsApp message coming from our friend Nizam out in Mauritius. He's listening. He says, Assalamu alaikum. Is there any exercise for double chin?
Wa alaikum salam, Nizam. Yeah, for the double chin, that's fat. So you can't really do chin exercises to give a six-pack in your chin. So it's really about fat. So there's two things you got to do. High-intensity cardiovascular training, at least 3 to 4 times a week. And you need to really cut out high calorie intake in your diet. So you need to go on a carb cycling diet, whereby you mix in high carbohydrates in certain times of the day and then lower carbohydrates in the end of the day, to really force your metabolism to increase, to begin to burn that fat in that area. And that's one way to decrease the double chin.
Jazakallah khair for that, Ronald. A nice way to close it off, inshallah. We'll pick it up next week, Monday again. So we'll give you a nice long break till then, so you can chill out with your cool Crockett and Jones shoes. And we'll pick it up next week, inshallah. Jazakallah khair for that, brother.
Jazakallah khair, my brother. And to you and the listeners, keep fit, keep healthy. And we're always available to help them on Twitter or any other platform. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, Ronald Evergy, our fitness and wellness expert there on the Verbal Fitness Sessions. In a couple of seconds, we'll be joined by Dr. Zaira Kotu. She joins us for a discussion on factors on wellness. It's going to be so, so mind-blowing. Stay tuned to Radio Islam.
سبيل الدموع سبيل مريح سلا أدى يا صاحي كي تستريح وبص الدعاء الخفي الصريح يسعك الفضاء الرحيم الفسيح سبيل الدموع سبيل مريح سلا أدى يا صاحي كي تستريح وبث الدعاء الخفي الصريح يسعك الفضاء الرحيم الفسيح فبالله كم تستطب القروح ويبرأ جروح الكثير الجريح وينشط ذاك السقيم العليم وقد كان بالسقم دهرا طريق تقال العثار العظام به ويرد
الهوى
Interact now. SMS 488-55. WhatsApp 072-786-1548 or tweet Ejaz at EJAZ_K.
Can you hear me calling?
Here we go.
Yes, indeed. You can call in 011-854-1548. We are now speaking to Dr. Zaida Kotu. She's from the Tahira Center for Integrated Health and Education. She is going to teach you so much. We welcome her to the program right now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, Ijaz.
How are you doing, Auntie Zaida?
Alhamdulillah, a little nervous, but how are you?
The nervous energy is what will take you through. Don't worry, inshallah. Yes, I'm doing well, alhamdulillah. And I know.
Congratulations on your new show.
Ameen, jazakallah khair for that and for you to us.
As well.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Auntie Zaida, I'm going to call you Auntie Zaida because Dr. Zaida is for everyone else in your patients, but to me, you're Auntie Zaida.
Right. Alhamdulillah.
Jima. It's very interesting now. Please tell us, what are the six factors of wellness?
Okay, well, you know, everybody in the alternative world has six different things, like there's six dimensions of health. But in TIP, which is where I'm a doctor in, mm-hmm. we have six factors of wellness. The first one that we take really seriously is environmental air and your breathing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We believe that it's a primary factor in promoting or inhibiting good health. Okay? Remember that the air contains the essence of life itself. Okay? And it represents like almost divine permission for life to begin and to continue, and then at the end of your life, it ceases. So it's almost like your life's one big breath, and what you choose to do in between your inhalation and your exhalation counts, right?
Of course.
So that's the first factor. So when we see our patients, we tell them about the six factors of wellness and the importance of it in their lives. The second factor being food and drink. And TIP considers food to be the best medicine, okay? So according to Unani TIP, all foods, all herbs, spices, drinks, have a specific temperament. And inshallah, you know, as time goes on, I know we only have 15 minutes, so I'm being, you know, very brief.
Yeah.
So coldness is the root of most illnesses. And since heat is essential for the process of digestion, if for any reason the body temperature becomes too low, mm-hmm. then not only will digestion and elimination become impaired, but it will also be the result of a toxic buildup in one's body. Also remember, we live in a fast everything age, right?
Right.
You want information, you get it now. You want food, you get it now.
Mm.
But with getting all of it now and then doing all not organic growth of vegetables and fruit, these are all things we need to consider and which are parts of actually being halal. You know this, right?
Yes.
So, okay. So those are the things we take into consideration there. And food is the weakness of most humans. You know, they always say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
Mm-hmm.
So we take diet very seriously. So we teach you what foods not to mix, what foods you should be eating if you're ill with a particular condition, mm-hmm. that sort of thing, right?
Right.
So third factor, you can stop me in between if you want to know anything, right? Otherwise,
sure.
You know me, I can yet.
Yes.
Factor three, movement and rest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, with our system of health, equal attention is given to the person's role of activity and the amount of rest they get. It's very different to sleep, okay?
Yes.
So remember that a restful person is a calmer person. So we take these things into consideration. And then as far as movement goes, clearly this is your exercise. And every single person has a different temperament, and therefore not everyone can do the same types of exercise, according to TIP, right?
Right.
I agree with that, just by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we go into that sort of thing. We also teach people relaxation techniques.
Right.
Because that's part of it. And then you have factor four, which is sleep and wakefulness. Mm-hmm. We know that during sleep, all the activities of the body are suspended to a certain extent, particularly the ones that we do voluntarily. Obviously, the involuntary ones are still working.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So not much energy is lost while you sleep. And this is your time for the body to regain its energy, right? You can see where my head is.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you obviously have a sound sleep, you feel better. There's no mental or physical fatigue. And you're not irritable, you're invigorated. So in some cases, now again, it depends on the person's temperament, whether they get 6 to 8 hours of sleep, whether 4 is enough, because it depends on that individual.
Yes. Yes.
Excessive sleep makes the body lethargic, okay? But staying awake unnecessarily then burns you out completely. And then not only that, you get sleep deprived. And to pay back sleep debt is very difficult, okay?
Right.
So then what do you do during your hours of wakefulness? So we go into a little bit of spirituality aspects there. A lot of people call in or that come to see me say, you know, we're not getting enough sleep. We get up at about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And my question is always, you know, make shukr. Maybe Allah is just waking you up to make tahajjud.
Mm.
You know, so when things like that happen also, one needs to then do the best you can with your wakefulness. Okay?
Right.
The fifth factor is elimination, evacuation, and retention. As we mentioned, the human body is made up of living matter, which requires nutrition, right?
Yeah.
So that would be part of us packing up for functions and growth. And we know that it then has to pass through various organs and processes until it's assimilated into our bodies. And then retention of nutritive agents is what we're talking about here. So we know that the body keeps whatever it needs, and then whatever isn't goes to our kidneys via our liver and gets evacuated from the body.
Mm.
Okay? Any alteration to this process then also leads to toxification of the body.
Right.
All right? Then my favorite is factor 6, which is the aspect of emotions and spirituality.
Mm.
Okay? We know that according to TIB, there are 5 basic emotions that we look at. It's joy, fear, anger, grief, and love. Okay? And these obviously have different parts to it. For example, your anger can masquerade as hate, hostility, resentment, rage, or violence. And emotions are part of the normal fabric of everybody's everyday life. And people experiencing normal amounts of emotions that attend to their daily life don't need any support or counseling, but one needs to become emotionally intelligent in order for this to work, okay? Because you don't want this to mess with you. The other thing is, because so little attention over the years has been paid to emotions, I spend a lot of my time, when patients come in with a particular condition, it's almost like from the symptom, you know exactly what the person's going through emotionally. So
yes.
No, I don't sit with a crystal ball and do all of that stuff. But you can tell what the person's going through. And then when you bring these things up, whether the person acknowledges it, you know, with me, sitting in front of me or not, the brain's already, we haven't dealt with this, maybe we need to deal with this.
Yeah. Maybe just to give an example, like if a person has a knee injury, what does that usually mean in terms of the emotions and spiritual aspect of it?
Okay, so if it's the left or the right knee is loss or fear of loss of a male person in your life, left knee is fear of loss of a female person in your life. Now, when I first learned about this, you know, I come from a nursing medical background.
Yes.
My first introduction to emotions and health was when I did reflexology with Chris Stormer. And so I put up my hand, all very nursey medically, and I say, no, that is not true. My left knee was fractured in a car accident, and you know, I am Muslim, I'm not gay, I'm not in any way a lesbian. How love for? And she said, when you had the accident, what happened on that day? And I said, my aunt was getting married, and she smiled at me, you know. And she said, how close were you to your aunt? And I said, my aunt literally brought us up. She was like a second mother to us. We did everything with her. And she was getting married and leaving the house after me literally living with her for 16 years of my life. And so she said, do I need to say more? And that for me was like, wow. You know, and that's when I started getting, so I did a lot of Louise Hay stuff, and then clearly when we did TIB, we realized emotions play a huge role with what's happening in your life. For example, when people come to me with their liver being very toxic, the first thing I say to them is, what old anger are you holding on to? you know, because that's where we hold our anger in our liver.
Hmm.
So, yeah, does that explain it, does it?
Yes, it does. Now, we were supposed to speak on the 32 points on the head. We've got like about 2 minutes. Do you want to maybe pick it up next week or what?
I think we'll pick it up next week, Ijaz.
Okay, cool. So I can ask you another question that, you know, is on my mind right now.
Yes.
You know, when you get this headache above your eye.
Nizar headache.
Yeah, I call it the Nizar headache, right?
Gee.
What is happening there, really?
Okay, well, it has a lot to do with energy, okay? And as years have gone by, we need to understand that there is the aspect of the pineal gland, which people refer to as your third eye. That's your intuition, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And normally when that goes, it means you're picking up on other people's energies, which clearly in your case or anybody else that works with people,
mm-hmm.
realize that they're picking up on energy. So you do. When you pick up on energies, you become a little more intuitive, and that's probably the headache you're getting. The other thing also is it could be a tension headache,
mm-hmm.
and so one needs to examine why.
Right. Now, this is interesting. We've got a minute or so, right?
Yes.
Is it true that a person who is maybe is hating on you or is not for you, sitting in London, can you be affected by that negative energy sitting here in South Africa?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is the reason why we're told not to make reports about people, because we don't realize how we affect that person, even though they're not present. Now, with kinesiology, and in fact in almost all the alternative healings, especially when people are dealing with energy and emotion, they tell you very clearly that there's bad karma when you mess with people unnecessarily, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So like you can do good, you can do bad. And just by saying something negative about the person, you weaken all the muscles in their body. Mm-hmm. Now we know if all the muscles in your body are weak, it means your guard is down, you feel lethargic, and then you allow yourself to get messed up spiritually,
mm-hmm.
and then you allow for all these other you know, things that are out there to come in, because you're not resonating at the level of wellness.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, please, do not talk about other people at all.
Brilliant advice, Dr. Zaida Kotu. We've come to the end of this segment, but it's really, really interesting, and we look forward to picking up next week, Wednesday, inshallah. You'll be joining us from Wednesday next week.
That'll be better, inshallah.
Brilliant stuff. Jazakallah
for having me, Ijaz.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair and have a wonderful day.
Ameen. You too. Asalaamu Alaikum.
Wa Alaikum Asalaam wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. Yes, Dr. Zaida Kotu from the Tahira Center for Integrated Health and Education, talking about some fascinating stuff, isn't it? And yes, indeed, she'll be joining us from Wednesdays next week. And you can pose your questions. If you want to, you can tweet them right now. We'll try and keep them. Hopefully, it doesn't get missing by the time next week comes. Or you can keep it ready. And when next week does indeed come up with Dr. Zaida, you can send those questions through. Next week we'll be talking about the 32 points on the head, and it's very, very interesting indeed, and you'll learn so much. So we'll pick it up next week, inshallah. So from the Body, Mind, and Chao, Bilal team, we'll pick it up next week, Monday, inshallah. Ronald will be with us, and we'll have, who joins us on a Monday, can you remember, Bilal? Who joins us? Yes, Janine Chamos will be talking about something very fascinating, I'm sure, that coming up next week. And, of course, all our guests throughout the week, Monday to Thursday. Hope we've benefited you in some way or the other. And the point of the show is to, you know, in fact, bring out the best in people. Exercise-wise brings out, you know, your best energies. And, of course, the holistic therapies to get you in the right frame of mind. So, from the Body, Mind, and Chao team, for now, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.